Jeremiah chapter 13. In this chapter, under the figure of a linen girdle unwashed and afterwards buried by the banks of the Euphrates, God signified his coming judgments upon the nation in the Babylonian captivity and the divine principles upon which they were inflicted. The prophet was commanded by God, saying, "Get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water." He obeyed. A second time God commanded him, saying, "Take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock." "So I went," says Jeremiah, "and hid it by Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, 'Arise, go to Euphrates and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there.' Then I went to Euphrates and digged, took the girdle from the place where I had hid it, and behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing." Upon which arise questions as to whether the transaction was a real one or a matter of vision. The Cambridge Bible says, "If we accept the view that the transaction was real, where was it carried out? Some think that the Hebrew Pirath, rendered elsewhere Euphrates, though generally the river is prefixed to it, may have meant Pera, see Joshua 18 verse 23, now Wadi Fera, a town in a rocky valley 3 miles northeast of Anathoth, chosen by Jeremiah for this purpose because its name suggested that of the actual river. Others, however, understand Euphrates making the prophet perform a double journey, one of 300 or 400 miles, with the aim of enforcing by act what he had failed to do by his words. But it is more natural to consider that the transaction was of a subjective character, taking place in the prophet's mind only." The Revised Version in this place draws attention to Jeremiah 51, where we read that Jeremiah wrote a book of prophecies of evil against Babylon and sent it there by hand of Seraiah, who was to read it there publicly and then to bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of Euphrates, saying, "Thus shall Babylon sink and shall not rise again." Compare with Revelation 18. In this 51st chapter of Jeremiah, the transaction is unquestionably real. On the other hand, in Revelation 18, the matter is equally certainly one of the vision of John on the Isle of Patmos. In like manner, Ezekiel was the subject of a vision of God, as he tells us in chapter 8. "He put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of mine head under the Spirit, lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem." On the whole, we incline to the view that in Jeremiah 13, a literal transaction is described, and that the prophet really went to the river of Eden, where was the cradle of the race, and whence originally Abraham was called out from his country and kindred. But if hypercriticism contends that there are no rocks in Babylonia, this must be admitted, with a remark that perhaps the expression is not to be too narrowly construed. In Isaiah 51, there is a divine exhortation that bears strongly upon Jeremiah's action, though the language be figurative. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. Abraham had been called out from this Euphratian country at the birth of the nation, and now the wheel had come full circle, and his natural seed was going back to Babylonia for their sins. This is God's interpretation of the matter. The girdle was good for nothing. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory, but they would not hear. Therefore thou shalt speak unto them this word, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, Do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, with drunkenness. Drunkenness is first the symbol of the mental and moral intoxication that God sends as a strong delusion upon disobedient possessors of the truth. And second, the symbol of the destroying judgments of God that come as a consequence of that disobedience. And so we have the warning, verse 15, Hear ye, and give ear, and be not proud. For the Lord hath spoken, Give glory to the Lord your God, before he calls darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death, and make it gross darkness. The king of verse 18 is supposed to be Jehoiachin. The reason of the judgment of God is because of thine iniquity. So persistent was this that it was like the skin of the Ethiopian or the spots of the leopard. The last clause of verse 27 is clearer in the revised version. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Thou wilt not be made clean, How long shall it yet be? In the end, God would save Jerusalem in spite of all the evil occurrence, but it would only be after a long time, as Jesus himself said.